Our second lesson for today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd and with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory, the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Here ends our second lesson. Grace to you and peace from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. As any good rabbi or teacher, as Jesus was, Jesus tried to get his disciples to focus, to center, that's the word in the church usually, rather than focus, to center on the primary mission of love and losing one's life to gain one's life, to gain salvation. Jesus kept reinforcing that mission all the time. Hardship, non-believers, even death they would encounter. Somehow, Peter missed that daily last lesson, even death. He had a hard time focusing, centering on the upside-down kingship of Jesus' death message. He had what we might call an alternate reality. He saw glory for his king, not misery and death. And Peter is probably more like us than we want to believe. His fear overtakes his faith in today's gospel, as perhaps it does for us at times. Peter exclaims, "Not you, my king. That's not what I spent all my time and energy on, following someone to a hopeless grave. I thought we were having fun. This doesn't look like fun to me at all. I don't want to focus on death, your death." Then Jesus frankly gets upset with Peter's missing the whole 3-year outdoor classroom ministry. He denounces Peter. "Get behind me, you devil worshiper. You're no help. I need cross bearers willing to give up their lives, willing to deny this world and willing to come out of denial to follow painful paths, to focus on mission for God's sake." Jesus wanted Peter to focus, but Pete's emotions got away from him. Does that ever happen to us? I think so. Here are 3 examples from my life and from another's life. Focus, lesson number 1. I remember when I was in college, UW Eau Claire, as a college student, and most of us thought we were pretty cool, first year especially, our history professor gave us a pop quiz much earlier in the course than I expected. I breezed through the history questions, no problem, until I read the last question. It was, "What is the name of the woman who cleans this building?" Surely this was a joke. I had seen the cleaning woman and could describe her. She was tall, dark-haired, and probably in her early 50s, but I didn't take time to focus on her and her name. I handed in my quiz, leaving the last question with a huge question mark. Nor did I kind of care. I was a college student. Just before class ended, one of the students dared ask if the last question would count on our quiz grade. The instructor replied, "Absolutely," responded the professor. "In your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and your care, even if all you do is say hello and call them by name. They're part of your history." Wow. I've never forgotten that history lesson. That history lesson of correct focus, centering on the important amidst my own interests and needs. I must confess that I regularly need Lent to focus, to center on Christ-focused mission of ministry. I also found out that the cleaning woman's name was Dorothy. And yes, that question was on the final test in our history class. Focus lesson number two. I remember in New Mexico, I taught AP English, that's advanced placement English, at Rio Rancho High School. It's a northern suburb of Albuquerque. Most days I would go home and fret over whether I had taught them anything that day. Some days it just seemed like a behavior management job. Quite different from the years I taught at universities where students wanted to learn. Every high school day I would have to halt projects and declare, mostly in frustration, "Focus, people, focus." The last day of classes, I was feeling like quite a bit of a failure. I was there early to set up for a fun day. You might as well have fun the last day. In walked all my students with matching bright blue t-shirts that stated, "Ms. Cosmo, focus, people, focus." I guess they really did learn something that year. God has a way of walking in where we see failure and darkness in our daily ministries. Focus lesson number three, Albert Schweitzer. We all know who he was. In his autobiography, he notes how he came to Christ. During a vacation in 1896, Albert Schweitzer awakened at his place there on the border between France and Germany. In bed, he pondered, "Why am I so happy?" In his autobiography, he explains his plight. "As I awoke, I thought that I must not accept this happiness as matter of course, but must give something in return for it." He recalled from our gospel for today, Mark 8, verse 35. "For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it." Schweitzer came to see that Jesus' words were not a contradiction, but actually a paradox. Once capturing the beauty of that text, he decided on his course of action. "I settled with myself before I got up that I would consider myself living till I was 30 for science and art, in order to devote myself from that time forward to the direct service of humanity." And Albert did just that. We all walk the real lengths of our lives at one time or another, those tragic times, those times of sorrow. That's what Lent is all about. It's a time to figure out how to get through the lengths of our lives, focusing on our faith to get us through, to prepare us for such times. Remembering discipleship one day ends in death. We say, "We are ashes, and to ashes we shall return." Of course, there's that joke you've probably heard. "I don't dust anymore, because it may be one of my friends or relatives." Seriously, though, we eventually face that we are dust. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We come to a time of focusing on our faith. Last Sunday in Tucson, I didn't join you, I was somewhere else worshiping, we took a trip to Redemptorist Renewal Center. I asked a man in a baseball cap with the monastery emblem on his cap where the petroglyphs were. Those are carved figures in rocks, and there are a lot of them out here. Turns out that this monk, Brother Bob, I found out his name, he was very kind. He told me to go to the rear of the office building, and there I would find those ancient art pieces carved on the walls by early inhabitants. And behold, there they were. But also, there was something else. There was this desert garden and walking path through the Stations of the Cross. Remember, this is a Roman Catholic monastery. But I decided to walk it. As I walked through it, I realized I was meditating on Jesus' passion and walking the Via Dolorosa, which means the way of sorrows, that one can see as a journey of fear or of faith, kingdom of glory or passion of Jesus' death for us. The 14 Stations of the Cross takes one on Jesus' last earthly day among us as a human. The cross-laden path there in the desert goes up the mountain from Jesus condemned in Jerusalem to his faithful, painful walk to Golgotha and his own death. As I walked it, I felt it. Such was my last Sunday's worship. We come to know Christ more intimately by focus on his passion. Confession needs focus, needs centering, the kind Christ had, Martha had, and Peter had eventually. It's interesting, Martha's confession came in the midst of losing her brother Lazarus, remember that? Jesus weeps with her before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But before he raises Lazarus, Martha confesses. She has her own confession. She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Well, Peter confesses only after getting over the God of glory complex and finding God, the God of the cross, the Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrows with Jesus. The church fathers chose to recognize Peter's confession as the church's hallmark. But Martha's was immediate, a faith expression. But we have to remember, women could not be official followers of the church in Rome at the time. I just recently added a part to this sermon because I was reading a devotion from Luther Seminary by David Shearer. It was so astounding, I decided to add it to this. It's Luther Seminary has... it's an online service, and you can get a daily devotion, and it's under the pause. Here's what he wrote, and it really fits with what we're talking about today, about Jesus of the cross. He writes this: "You ruined my life. I had power and privilege. I had beauty and blessing. You called me to leave it behind. It was terrifying. You told me to come and die. How scary is that proposition? I tiptoed forward and then retreated. I inched toward it and then backed away. You challenged me with a gracious invitation. I let go and then grasped for control again. You told me that loss was only real gain. Couldn't there be another way? I wondered. But you continued inviting me. I finally gave up. My life that I had built for myself. I let go like you asked, and you completely ruined my life. In these ruins were where true life was found." And it was glorious. And then he offers this prayer in this devotion, which I decided to include too. It's so good. Jesus, ruin our lives so that we may discover new life in you. Destroy our temporary false security with your eternal safety. Shatter our ego's desire, our desire to serve you alone. Ruin our ego's desires with your desire to serve, the desire to serve you alone. Ruin our fear with your courage. And rebuild our hearts of faith with your love and your endless compassion. David Shearer, a Luther Seminary professor. In true, passionate faith, you have no other, you disciples. You followers to the Lenten cross with Jesus, Jesus declares to you, focus, people, focus. Let God come into focus in your life and let God help you focus on confessing him as the center of your life and your ministry as we journey to the cross with our God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.